But I'm Adam Seal, and I'm here today to talk to you guys a little bit about the Paraguay trip that we took, and also a little bit about Honduras that we were able to go to. Amber Pittman and I also went, and some other members of the congregation have been going throughout the years to Honduras as well. So I'm just going to start talking, and when it comes up, it comes up. Oh, we're here. Good to go. Lots of slides, lots of information. It's hard when you have like 1,000 pictures to pick just a few. And I didn't put as many food pictures this time as I did last time. So we're going to go pretty quickly. So the Palm Beach Lakes members that went, we have Maria, Phil and Mary Porter, Gwen Lyons, Giselle Smith, Joanne Rogers, and myself. And we just had an epic adventure down there serving the Lord. I know that, you know, we're all Christians and we can reflect that through our daily lives, but it's just so amazing. And I just thank everybody for their support in making that trip possible for us to go out there and to have that opportunity to spread the word. So Paraguay, as you guys have heard before, is located in South America, and we're right here. It's a landlocked country, same time zone as Florida, and you can see it right there. We spent most of our time in Asunción, which is the capital city, and the last time we went to Paraguay about 2 years ago, we spent all the time there, but this time we were focused on going out into the neighboring city. It's pronounced Ñembo. It looks like it's pronounced Nembi, but you say Ñembo, and we had fun. A lot of us had fun trying to pronounce that over the week, June 28th through July 7th. So the current mission team up there, you guys can see, you've seen presentations of them before, but the Blackmer family, the Spradlins, the Yegros family, Hardens, Eliezer Perez down here on the left, your left, my right, the story about Eliezer is, from what I understand, Troy had gone up to Panama and somehow made a connection with Eliezer, and he had completed the preaching school up there, and he really was interested in coming down to Paraguay and help out with the work down there. So he is now Asunción, Iglesia de Cristo Asunción's missionary to Ñembo, and he's helping start the congregation over there. So there were some really cool changes to go back 2 years later and see the different changes going on. You can see here on the left before, the congregation inside of the building was all facing front, but then they like knocked out a few walls and took out the little lobby area, and now it can fit a lot more people. They did some renovations. The new things going on, really exciting, the preaching school they have there, the new baptistry, and they have dorm rooms now that they've converted into the building that was behind in the backyard. So some of the preaching here, the preaching school students, it's really cool. They do have the female, Karen. She does the same type of work they do, but obviously it's a little bit different because she's female, but she's still participating in the classes there. And she just really wanted to become more knowledgeable in the Word. And she really has a passion for that. And she works with the other ladies in the congregation. So she's in the school. And then Enrique, Paolo, Ramon, and William. Those are some of the other students that they have right now, if I have my facts right. I hope I do. Okay. So far, so good. So getting there was an adventure. We took off from Miami. Just driving down to Miami is always an adventure. You guys know that. So getting to the airport safely was great. And then we had to fly to Sao Paulo, Brazil. And I think that's like about a 7-hour flight, but the plane was pretty roomy. I didn't get to sit next to anybody, but I made new friends. And then so from Sao Paulo, we had to go to Asunción from there, and it's about 2 hours. So all in all, it's about 10 hours to get there. We were pretty exhausted once we got there, but good things were to come. All right, we made it. This is a picture of us in the airport at Asunción. You can see we're all really excited to be there. Well, maybe just excited to go to sleep, but anyway. So I'm going to go from here forward, just kind of like a day, what we did each day. So we got there really early, June 29th, and we got there about 2 in the morning. That day we had lunch at this really awesome restaurant, and we did tour the building. We had a devotional, and the ladies went to a tea, and then the guys played soccer, but I was actually the only guy that played. Phil supervised. But I played with the other guys there, the members of the congregation there. And then Sunday, June 30th, we had the worship service there. We were able to reunite with the people we had seen 2 years before. We went to this like Texas Day Brazil version in Paraguay, but it's even better. Well, I've never been Texas Day Brazil, but I really want to go. We spent a little bit of time recuperating. We were pretty exhausted, and then we had our evening worship, and we were able to hear about what we were going to be doing that week. So here we are at church that morning. And then this is, you know, the really epic restaurant that everyone loves to go to. That's where they typically take people when they first arrive in Paraguay. You know, you go to church and then you go here. That's how they do it. So here's Maria, and she's in front of this map, and that's Nyembo. That was going to be our focus area for spreading this word, spreading the word and the work. The story about Nyembo is a lot of the members of the congregation have been driving, they usually ride a bus, but they've been riding a bus like upwards of an hour or an hour and a half just to get to church on Sundays in the capital city of Asuncion. So the Martinez, Vicente, it was really cool because we had met him 2 years before, and he was studying at that point, and now 2 years later, he's a believer. His family are all believers, and now they want to open their home that they have and have church there so that they can have their own, the members of that area don't have to travel so far on Sundays. They can have La Iglesia de Cristo in Nyembo. So we were excited to do that work. So Monday, July 1st through Wednesday, our main focus was getting the word out that there was going to be a meeting on Friday evening of that week at the new congregation, and then there was going to be the worship on Sunday, and then also Saturday as well, there was going to be something going on. So we spent all that time spreading out the word. We had information about the new church that was starting, information about the Bible, and we were actually going door to door and talking to people and asking if they would have a Bible study or they'd like to have us come back for a Bible study later on in the week. Pretty much every morning we got there about 8:30, and we had a devotional, and we did some prayers, and we had some singing. And then from 9:30 to 11, pretty much 11:30 every morning, we were out there in the streets. We went to the plaza a few times, and it's really cool. They take this thing called a siesta in the afternoon. I love it. I wish we could bring it here, but you can't go out after the lunchtime because everybody's sleeping. And apparently in Asuncion, they still do that too, but we didn't see it a lot the first time that some of us went. But outside of the capital city where it's a little more rural, everyone takes a siesta. So you don't want to be rude and start talking about the new congregation, waking people up. You want to wait till they're awake. So we would go back to the house from 12 to about 2:30, take a siesta, have some food, and then we'd go back out from 3 to 5. Throughout the week, we also did some member visits as well, where we went out to different homes and visited members. All right, so here's like a typical street of Nyembo, and here we are walking. We're just going to be going door to door, talking to people. A lot of people don't have door bells, so you have to clap twice, and then people will come out and start talking to you. Here's just some pictures here of Nyembo. And it was really cool that we had the members of the congregation that were going to be in Nyembo actually walking with us throughout the town and, you know, helping us out with our Spanish. A lot of us were learning Spanish, but, you know, we needed help. So it was really cool to have them with us, guiding us and being like that first contact to introduce the Lord to the people of Nyembo. This was really cool. Just going up to someone and speaking to them for the first time and saying, "Would you like to learn about Jesus?" And them saying yes. So awesome. Like, a lot of times I feel here in the United States that we try to get people just to be responsive and to listen and to maybe even try to come to church. I know I've talked to several of my friends and invited them upwards of 10 times, even more. And to just see someone for the first time and say, "Would you like to study about Jesus?" oh, well, I'm doing the dishes right now, I'm cooking, but come back after 3. And we go back there and we're sitting there in their front yard, you know, studying about the Lord, studying the Bible. It was just so awesome. These were some kind of hidden pictures I took. I had my leg like this, and I, you know, had the camera, my phone at the angle so I could kind of get Eliezer in action. And it was really cool because they paired me up with William, one of the preaching students, and Eliezer, the missionary. And I'm working on my Spanish, but I can read the Bible in Spanish, but I don't know exactly what I'm saying. So I would be the guy that read the passages. William was the kind of crazy one who got people to say yes, even if they, you know, initially didn't want to. And then Eliezer was the one who kind of took the message and went with it. So here's some pictures of the epic food that we had there, and also the lunchtime and siesta time. It was so great. Vicente's wife just created these huge meals for us every day, and we were definitely well fed while we were there in Paraguay. Here's a picture of us on one of our first days where we were all passing out the flyers, and we came back and had this delicious drink with, it's mate, it's the herbs that they have, and they mix it with hot water, sometimes cold water, but then this was mixed with milk, and that's the little cup that we're like, yeah, this is awesome, tastes good. There we are all. And Vicente is the guy in the striped green and white shirt, and 2 years ago he was studying the Bible, and now he's opening up his home with his family, and they are the members who are opening their home for the new congregation there. It's just awesome. All right, so one of the focuses, foci, I guess, is the plural of focus, but like cactus, cacti. Anyway, we spent some of the time in Nyembo's plaza, and we would go there, and there was lots of people coming through, lots of people who had their like little stands set up and everything. That's the Catholic Church. I just thought it was a cool picture. We didn't really... Okay, well, I did go in there with William, and he put a flyer in there, but I didn't think that was appropriate. But, you know, have to spread it everywhere. Okay, I have permission to show this photo. Joanne told me I could do it. All right, she's like, it's your picture, you can do what you want with it. Okay, so this is Mate, and this is Joanne trying it for the first time. A picture says 1,000 words. It's an acquired taste, could be the caption. All right, so here we are. I'm attempting to try it. I don't think I've tried it yet, but my thumb is up to show. But there we are right there. That's William on the right. He was kind of my right-hand man. It was cool to be with him and learn Spanish. I could only speak Spanish the entire time. So while I was there, he didn't speak any English. I mean, he said he didn't. I think it was just he's trying to get me to learn more Spanish. And so here are some of the members that we visited. Up in this corner up here, the upper left-hand corner, this is an amazing story. I hope I can get all the facts right and remember it correctly. This lady right here, I can't remember her name. You remember her name? Señora Oracola. Apparently, from what I understand, is that her and her husband came to Paraguay, and they were like the initial people who started spreading the word. Did they come from Uruguay? Her husband was from Chile, she was from Uruguay, and they came to Paraguay in the 50s? I don't know. We don't know the...
I think it's in the 70s.
In the 70s, but they were the direct people who started spreading the word, and this is kind of how it all started, from what I understand. Her husband, unfortunately, has passed away, but it was just so amazing to meet that sister in Christ. All right, so the buses. William has a lot of great ideas, but sometimes they're not the best ones to take. I learned that very quickly, but you just roll with it. His idea was to flag the buses as they're coming down and ask the bus driver, is it okay with you if we run on this bus and start passing out information about Nyembo? And most of the bus drivers, everyone we ran into, said yes, except for one guy. So we would go up there, and William would start like preaching this mini lesson in Spanish, and then I would run around and hand all of the flyers to everyone, and then we'd ride the bus like four stops down the road, jump off, come back up, and like do it all over again. And like within, I don't know, a couple hours, we had passed out like over 500 flyers about the information. It was just awesome. One day, we weren't paying attention though, and we got out of the city, and we didn't know how we were going to get back. And I had learned at that point, tenemos un problema, necesitas call Troy or whatever. So William took out his cell phone and he called Troy, and Troy told us what to do. Here's some more streets of Nyemba. It's just such a beautiful area. Just the vegetation and the trees, and it was really cool. Oh, there was this one time where a dog bit me. I tried using Cesar Millan's, confidence, the dog whisperer, if you've ever seen that show, and I was like, perro malo, but the dog bit me anyways, and that was, it didn't draw blood, but it was an interesting story, which I milked for the entire trip every time I saw a four-legged furry creature. So Thursday now, we're here to Thursday, July 4th, and it was so cool. We had this opportunity to go to this Mirta's house, I believe. And yes, it's up there. Sorry, I'm talking really fast because I still have so much more to share with you guys, and I realized my watch, the battery. Fill me when I've got like five left, huh? 9:30. Okay, we're good then. All right, so we were able to go to Mirta's house, and apparently electricity didn't work in the house, or she didn't have lights in all of the rooms except for the kitchen. And so Troy went and got a whole bunch of electrical equipment and was able to fix it, and then Josh was there helping us. So we were really blessed with the opportunity to serve one of the members in the congregation. And then we had a barbecue at the evening at the Diego's family's house. All right, so here we are. You guys can see some pictures in action of Gwen down there, and we got all the people up in the corner. Josh is mixing up stuff over there, whitewash for the walls. And then you can see up there we have Mary, and then Joanne's kind of in the back, and Giselle, and they're painting whitewashing the walls back there. That was really cool. We painted the whole inside of the living room, and then we painted the outside, we whitewashed the walls, and then helped in the kitchen a little bit, and she was just so happy. Okay, this is Mirta, and her sister's name is Pochi, I think I have this all correct, up in the upper left, correct? Up in the upper left corner there is her, is their mother, who is 90 years old, or 91 years old, somewhere around there. She had, apparently, according to Mirta and Pochi, she has a great memory, but, she's so old, it's really hard for her to move, but all of her wits are still there. They've been studying with her for years and years and years, and she was finally baptized, about 6 months ago or something. An ambulance came to the house and got her so they could move her, and they were able to baptize her in the pool somewhere. But I just thought it was so cool, the power of the Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are, if you have that heart and you study, it's just amazing. I'm like getting chills just thinking about how cool that is. And so here we are down there in the corner, and you guys can see those pictures. How cool is it to, I gotta go back. Anyway, it was just so cool. After we had worked all day, we were kind of tired, and we come back, and then Nora Yegros and Ike had decorated their home that they had just recently moved into to celebrate Independence Day in South America in Paraguay on July 4th. It was really cool. So we had worked all day, and it was just so cool to come back to the house. Here's Josh. We had like these big slabs of meat and this like rotisserie grill, like on this charcoal thing. I mean, I had never seen a contraption like that, but we had like tons of grilled meat. It was awesome. Here we all are in the evening, just hanging out, having salad and delicious food, and it was just such a great time to just be together with brethren there. Here's another photo of everyone hanging out inside, having a good time. Most of the food is already off the plate. That's how good it was. And then Josh, he got some fireworks, and Nora had hung a U.S. flag in the backyard, and it was just so cool. We were lighting off fireworks, and it was just such a great time. All right, so Friday, July 5th, we had a devotional again. We had some Bible studies where we had gone into the neighborhood because we wanted to revisit our contacts, and then this was going to be the night where everybody was going to be able to come to the house, and we started advertising that this was going to be happening. We're going to have an informational meeting to hear about the congregation that was going to be starting up, and anyone in the neighborhood could come that we had given flyers to, and also people at the plaza. So here we're hanging the sign. This is where it's going to be. Now the Martinez family owns a little, what's the Spanish word for the little poquito supermercado, like, or whatever, but basically it's just a little supermarket, but they don't have everything there, but all of the neighborhoods don't go to these big, you know, Publix and Winn-Dixie's. It's just someone will have a little building by the side of their house, or it might even be in the front of their house, and you just go and get what you need, and they have lots of different things you can purchase. But to your left would be where his shop is at. Saturday, July 6th, we went sightseeing. It was like our last full day there. I should tell you guys a little bit about what happened at the meeting. That Friday, we did have a lot of people there that we had brought from Asuncion. The congregation there on Sacramento Street came. Did we have three visitors? Was it three visitors or one?
I think it was one or two.
Okay. At first, it was kind of disappointing because we had passed out all these flyers and stuff, and then like one or two people came. But then, one or two people, if we're bringing one or two people to Christ, it's completely worth it. And that was just the informational meeting. And then we were hoping that we would hear that more people showed up on Sunday when they had their first official day at La Iglesia de Cristo en Yambo. All right, so Saturday was our last full day there, and this was the day where we got to go out into the city and see the different sites, and we were able to go shopping in this little market, see the Panteón de los Errores, which is like their building that they have to memorialize the veterans and the people who have died fighting in Paraguay. We had a siesta, and then that evening I was able to go to the young adult meeting there in Asuncion. That was so cool because they have like every single one of their young adult members was there. I couldn't believe it. It's like everyone was there. They were all hanging out and singing songs and worshiping the Lord and studying His Word. That was really cool. And then we had like our last hangout at the Yegros' house and saying goodbye and everything. All right, so here's the Mercado. And you can get really cool little carved figurines and stuff. They have containers that you would put the mate in. It's like the dried tea and herbs, and you can see those up in the upper left-hand corner. That's where you pour your water in, and then you use a straw that is like a metal straw. It's kind of like looks like a spoon, kind of. It has like a filter on the bottom so you don't get all the green stuff. But and then that's the Panteón de los Héroes, and soccer's huge down there. We heard like fireworks and heard all this noise and commotion because one of the Olympia, one of the teams there, had advanced to the next championship or whatever. All right, so here's the Panteón de los Héroes. It's just a beautiful building, the architecture down there, and you can walk in and see the Paraguayan flags, and you read about the different soldiers and stuff. It's just really cool to walk around there. That's like a side view of it, and we were really excited to be there because they had this like maybe the National Army Band or something, because they had people playing in their instruments, and they were like marching and doing their thing, and they had the guns and stuff. It was cool. And then we were able to go to La Costanera, which I basically think means the coast. It's right there by the Rio Paraguay, the river Paraguay and the bay right there. And they had created this new area for people to walk and hang out at. And they were opening up. And from what Troy was telling me, they're trying to compete with this other city called Encarnacion, which also has like this beautiful coast area by this lake where everyone goes to. What I found out, though, is I kind of diverged from the group and I wanted to go exploring, and so I walked down and I was like, I'm going to dip my hand into the water. I'm going to find the only beach I can find close to Asunción, and I'm going to dip my hand in the water. And then everyone's kind of looking at me weird, and I stick my hand in the water, and then later I'm telling Nora, and she's like, you didn't see the sign? That water's contaminated. You're not supposed to stick your hand in there. And then I was like, oh, well, I washed it. If it starts glowing green, I'll let you know. And then come to find out, there's like this saying in Paraguay that if you dip your hand in the water or something, that it means you're coming back. So I was like, yeah, next time I'm going to dip my whole body in there. All right, so this was like one of our last meals together out in the town. We went there 2 years ago to this restaurant, but they just have all the traditional Paraguayan food and just hang out, have a good time. All right, so here's Joanne with her guitarra. That was interesting, getting that thing all wrapped up and ready to go. But we had to leave super early, so some of us didn't even go to sleep. We had to leave at 3 in the morning, left Asunción, went back to Sao Paulo, and then we returned Sunday evening in Miami. And just had an amazing adventure serving the Lord. And I've been Facebook chatting with Eliezer and William, and we've been talking in Spanish, and they're helping me out and stuff, and I've been asking them questions about how the work is going, and they're saying more and more people are coming to Nembla all the time, and they're just energized, and everyone's just has all this energy, and they're on fire for the Lord. What's the time now? How are we doing?
9:33.
Okay, wow, that much stuff in 3 minutes? Okay. All right, so now I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about Honduras. And when I was being told that this would be the opportunity that I would be speaking about Honduras, I was told a lot of focus on Paraguay and then a little, well, some focus on Honduras. So I don't have as much information, but I do have some. We went to Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and I believe Caleb McLeod has been there. I believe Dave has been there also last year. And if I'm forgetting anyone else, I'm sorry. Amber went last year. I heard about the opportunity in Honduras from Amber Pittman, and she was saying, you know, there's this great work in Honduras. I think you'd like to go. And I was like, I love serving the Lord and going on mission trips. And so I appreciate Amber for even letting me know about it, and it's just an amazing trip. So the Maysville Church of Christ is where Amber's sister attends and her brother-in-law, and that's like a big focus of the Maysville congregation, is that they send people every year to Honduras. Also the Palmetto Church of Christ in Columbia, South Carolina. And then obviously we went, and there was a brother and sister that also attended from Iowa, and I believe some other people that came down from New York as well. So we went to Honduras, and it's in Central America. It's about a 2-hour plane ride from Miami, and you're flying over Cuba. It was so cool to look down. I was like, oh, I can see Cuba. And we're flying across, and it's just beautiful. You get in there, and there's mountains everywhere. It borders Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua, and it has two coasts. It's the Caribbean coast and also the Pacific coast as well. So we were in Tegucigalpa July 19th through the 27th, and upon committing to going on a Honduras trip, I heard that Tegucigalpa has the reputation of being the second most dangerous airport in the world. The only worse one is Nepal, which you actually somehow land the plane going uphill towards the cliff of a mountain or whatever, mountain cliff. And I was like, okay, I got to YouTube this. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. You're coming in off the coast, and then they're like, we're going to be beginning our descent. And so you're going down like this. And, you know, if you fly into Palm Beach or Miami, you sweep out, and then you come back in, and you're just kind of gradually gliding down. But Tegucigalpa, you're like, okay, we're going to be landing soon. And, oh, there's a mountain turn. Oh, there's another mountain turn. There's another mountain. And, like, right at the very end, you're looking in people's windows because you're that close, and the wing looks like it's going to hit the house. And then all of a sudden, there's another mountain at the very end. The pilot just goes, turns, and you bam, slam, and you're sliding. And then there's a big fence there, and there's cars driving everywhere. And you're like, thank you, Lord. And everyone claps. And this is after they extended the runway, like a few years ago. They didn't even have the runway extended. There was like another mountain right before you landed. So it's like, this is crazy. So we were just blessed to make it there alive. This was so cool. So this is Tegucigalpa, and we are on our way up the hill because our camp that we're staying at, it did remind me of band camp. I was in band in high school, and it had like dorm rooms and stuff. And the, you know, I haven't been to Central Florida Bible Camp. I hope I get to go to SO and see that. But it did remind me kind of like of a compound camp where you're staying at. But we're driving up the hill to the camp, and just the mountains there, I couldn't believe it. It's just like pine trees. I'm from Washington State, and in eastern Washington, there's pine trees everywhere, and it's like the higher you got, the more pine trees there were. It looked like the Smoky Mountains. It was just, and the higher up you got, the further away you got from the pollution and the smoke and people burning things, and it just smelled so good. Our focus there in Honduras was we had a medical team, and basically every day at breakfast time, you could decide what you wanted to do. If you wanted to go build homes, you could go build homes. If you wanted to go to the medical clinic, you could help distribute medication and help people that way. If you wanted to go, they had like a VBS program there at the Mololoa Church of Christ. Clothing distribution, 11 families received new homes. There was a total of 11 homes built. Donations from Palm Beach Lakes and other congregations really helped with the clothing drive, so that was just graciously accepted by the Honduran people. There were 5 tons of food delivered. More than 1,000 bags were filled with food. And to go on the trip, your cost is like broken down into, okay, part of your cost goes to, this is the lumber for the homes. This is food to purchase food. This money is going to be for other things. So when you commit to it, You're directly helping, and when people support us and people of the congregation, we really appreciate it. Your support directly went to the food, the clothing, all that stuff, the medical supplies. We did visit the hospital, an orphanage, blind school, and then we visited this intense opportunity we had to go to the dump where people are living. They don't have anything left. They are out there in the dump. I think I need to speed it up here. All right, so this is the camp that we got to. That's the ladies' dorm rooms over there. We were told not to go in there if you were a guy. We could stand outside and call them, but you can't go inside. Torch Missions welcomes you. It's the program is called Torch. If you guys want to look it up and you're curious about more information, I believe it's like torchmissions.com, or just Google it. All right, so here's some pictures of the homes that we were building. I mean, we were up in the mountains, like you're on the side of the hill and you look down and there's the bus. A truck would come each day and would deliver wood to us, and from what I remember, it's about $1,200 to $1,500 for the wood supplies to build the homes. And then, you know, the labor is just the people who commit to going. Depending on the cost of wood, it fluctuates a little bit each year. So here's one of the hills we were on, the Mololoa Church of Christ, where they had the VBS, I believe one of the VBSs, is just down the hill from us, and so we had to truck up the hill, and then the truck came with the wood, and we had to carry it down the hill from up top. Okay, 5 minutes, huh? Okay, so a house typically takes about, I would say, five hours, more or less. You've got all these people telling you what to do. I was brand new there. I was like, I just want to build a home. And they're like, you can do the roof. And apparently that's like something you have to work up to, but I was up for it. It was really cool. You guys can see Amber up there in the corner. She was really involved with the VBS, and they had kind of like a Finding Nemo theme, but a lot of the kids hadn't seen Finding Nemo, so what they did is they showed the video one night before they started the VBS program, and then they took it from there. You guys can see like the skits they had made down there in the puppet show they did in Espanol. The clothing distribution, all of the goods that you guys had put out there, we really, really appreciate. We packed those up in big suitcases and we took them down there and we directly handed out all the clothes that you guys had donated. It was just awesome. I remember hearing people say that there were like lines and lines and lines of people all in the neighborhood just waiting to get there and get some clothes. I think like each person was able to receive 4 articles of clothing, which was amazing. And I think I remember hearing someone say there was like 300 people there waiting outside. The dump. It was one of the most intense things I'd ever seen. That statue up there, it was built by the same guy who built the statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil, if you've seen pictures of it. And this is here in Asunción. And the saying in Asunción is that even Jesus has turned his back on the people in the dump, because the dump is behind the statue. And that's kind of like, you know, it's just, we drove up there, it was intense, there was people burning stuff, there's kids running in the dump trying to collect any bottles that are there that they can take down the hill and sell to a guy who will give them some money, who will then turn it around and sell it for even more. And just to see people in that situation, you come back a completely changed person. You realize we've been lucky enough to be born in this country, and oh, I'm going to throw away that crust from the side of the pizza because I don't like crust. I mean, you can Google, there's a video if you want to see it, it's on YouTube. You can just Google Tegucigalpa dump, and there's like a 15-minute video that Mark, the guy who kind of oversees Torch, created, and there's people telling their first initial reactions, and it's just really, really intense. Some of the homes, we had to dig out these huge boulders, and that house up there in the corner is right adjacent to the dump. Food distribution, you guys can see there. We had to pack up the entire back of a bus with 500 bags of food, and then for 5 or 6 hours, we're walking down every street in that little town, and was actually really close to the dump. And we're giving a bag to each person's home. And all these people were like trying to swarm the bus. It was kind of freaky because it's kind of chaotic. And everyone wants to make sure they have food because everyone's so destitute. And then we're like, solamente en la casa. So only in the house. You have to be in your house because some of these homes have like 15 or 16 people in the house. And it's like it's a 16 by 16 shed that they live in. There's a little window there, but most of the homes that were not built by the Torch people or the missionaries in the Torch program, they'll just build a house out of anything they can find, like a piece of plastic, a piece of wood, just like stuck. There's no cement, there's no bricks. It's just whatever you can find to build your home. And only having an experience with Paraguay and then going to Honduras, I mean, it's like a whole nother world than Paraguay. Like, we had it good in Paraguay. Like, people have their homes, and I remember in Yembo, I'm walking around and I'm seeing people on Facebook. I'm looking in the homes in Paraguay, and I can see inside the white and the blue bar. I was like, they're on Facebook, and they have computers. But like, it's one of the most destitute, one of the most impoverished countries in the world right now. So they really appreciated that food. Oh, and I have to tell you one more thing. There were like these matriarchs in the town, and they were like walking us and escorting us and making sure every single house had food. And they were like, the bajo, aquí, aquí. Like, she's saying, below, over here. And like, this old lady walked with us for like 5 or 6 hours. And she's like, you missed that house. We're like going down these hills, and there's these wild dogs again. And that, you know, then I'm having a flashback to Paraguay. But I learned to just kick it. I didn't have to, but if it was gonna, I was just gonna kick it. And so this is like, this is where we were at on the hill, and I'm the one taking the picture. I'm standing behind Diana, the girl down here in the green shirt, and we're just going straight up this hill and making sure each person has food, and they're standing outside and they're just waiting for us to give them the food. All right, oh, it's the last slide. Whew. Okay, this is the team that went. These people are from the Huntsville congregation, Maysville Church of Christ. There's other people in there as well. But what an amazing opportunity and a blessing. And thank you again so much for your support and just the prayers that went up for us. And we are so blessed. And I was posting pictures on Facebook, you know, just trying to keep my family in the loop and stuff when I had internet access and both trips. And everyone's like, Adam, you're doing such a great thing. You guys are such great peoples. It's not us. It's Jesus. It's the Lord. And glory to Him and glory to God for giving us the means and through your support of being able to even do something like that. I just kept telling people, it's not us. We're the vessel, you know. Christ is working through us. And what was great about all of the trips was just the focus on the work, spreading the word in Paraguay, getting the new congregation started, but then going to Honduras, and we weren't really focused evangelizing, but through our actions and our means, they were able to see Christ in us, and if that can bring someone to Jesus, all the better. I think I have like 15 seconds if you want to ask any questions. Oh, that's the second bell? So we're over. We're done. Okay. Thank you for your attention. I would give you guys a marble in the marble cup if you were in my class. You paid attention very well. Thank you again.